in 27 seconds, Lori Novick. Where are you, Lori? Say hello to everybody. We will begin. I guess moving from one Yoetzet to another, if I can say that. Lori is also a Yoetzet Halakha and the runs the Diracheha website and all these fantastic resources. Of course, I know she gave a long series of Shirim on women in Halakha, a while back. So it's a pleasure to welcome her. Where are you, Lori? I don't hear from you.
I'm here.
Good. I'm glad. There you are. Now we see you. Okay. Hope all is well. Okay. How are you keeping?
Baruch Hashem. Okay. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you very much. We're happy to have you. Okay, you can start in 15 seconds. Let people breathe.
Okay, you're going to give me a signal and I'll know. I can't keep it down to the second.
Okay, you can start. It's okay. We'll make it quick. Kvitzat haderek. Bakasha.
Okay. From
Yerushalayim.
Nachum, here live from Efrat. I was very pleased to catch the end of Dr. Gansel's steer as well. It's very inspiring. It's such a pleasure to be here, especially this is the kind of steer I love to prepare, because one of my favorite things to do before holidays, if I possibly can, is to find a little time to think in particular about tefillah. And the special tefillot that come up in the holidays, because I find that when I'm in shul, any work that I've done that I put in to try to really get a handle on the meaning of the tefillot of what the meaning of the tefillot is, really comes and it accompanies me through my davening. I have something that I can look forward to, that I can be excited about, that I can understand there's something deeper to what I'm doing in shul. And Bezrat Hashem, what we're going to do today is deepen our understanding of zichronot, which is one of the central brachot of the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf on both days of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a classic structure to Shmoneh Esrei. We have the beginning is three brachot of Sheva, right? Standing prayers. We have three blessings of praise that are pretty standard. We throw in a phrase or two here and there, but they're pretty fixed. At the end of our Shmoneh Esrei, of our Tefillat Amidah, we have our three prayers of Hoda'ah and leave taking of Kaddish Baruch Hu, of thanks, gratitude, and sort of goodbye. We end on a note of peace. And then what happens in the middle is sort of, I wouldn't call it a chef's surprise because there are pretty clear rules to it, but that's where we sometimes get some variation. And in a typical holiday or Shabbat Shmoneh Esrei, right, what goes in the middle is one bracha. We have three at the beginning, three at the end, one in the middle. We call it Tefillat Sheva. Sheva for seven brachot, right? And that one in the middle is usually called the bracha of Kedushat Hayom. And we have this unique feature of the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei, right, where we have these three different brachot coming into the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and each of them is highlighting a different facet of the day. The one that we're focusing on is the central one, Zichronot. We start with Malchiot, which literally means kingship, or you could say kingliness or coronation. We have Shofarot at the end, which relates to the shofar. We'll talk a little bit more about the overall path and meaning for those, but what we're honing in on is Zichronot, which relates to memory or remembrance. And of course, if we're going to call something memories, we're going to want to know what we're remembering, who's remembering, why they're remembering, and what it's all about. And that's what we're talking about now. And we have to start with the verse. I'm going to share the screen. I think there's also a source. Wonderful. Rabbi Jay shared the source. I appreciate that. It's in the chat for anyone who wants to see it. Okay. Now I'm really hoping that I'm able to share. Okay, I might have to do this twice because, right, I'm stopping to share. What I like to do is I like to share a portion of the screen, and it usually only lets me do that if I do it a second time, portion of the screen. Let's go. All right, success. Great. So you should be now seeing a portion of the source sheet, so we'll be able to really stay focused. We're not Rabbi Jay, or we are? Okay, we're good. Okay, and I want to start with one of the essential psukim about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a little bit of a mystery holiday in Chumash. It shows up a couple times, but what it's really about is left somewhat opaque. And elsewhere, it's called a Yom Truah, a day of, I guess you could say, crying, or we translate it as blasting, because we use the shofar to cry out to God. But here in Sefer Vayikra, we say something a little different. Daber al bnei Yisrael le'emor, speak to the children of Israel, saying, b'chodesh shvi b'chad l'chodesh, in the seventh month, i.e. Tishrei, b'chad l'chodesh, on the first day of that month, yeh lachem shabbaton, there will be for you a type of Sabbath or a day of rest, Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. And this day is going to be Zichron Truah, Zichron. Get back to it, right? Truah, we said, is crying out. Mikra Kodesh. And this is going to be a sacred proclaimed day of sacred, of sanctity. The word Zichron here is really interesting. What does Zichron mean? Again, literally, it has to do with memory. But again, if we're trying to define the day, if we want to say that we have a holy day and it's going to be characterized by us crying out to God, that makes a lot of intuitive sense. When we add in this modifying word, zichron, it's a day of remembering or memory or mention of crying out to God, it's a little harder to get a handle on. Now, the Gemara gives us a very nice drasha on this verse, and it connects it directly to two of the three brachot that are special to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah Shmoneh Esrei. Uminayin she'omrim malchuyot zichronot u'shofron. Oh, I'm sorry. It connects it to all three. Forgive me. Whence do we know that we say malchuyot, zichronot, and shofron, that we have these three blessings about kingship, about remembering, whatever that is, and shofron? Rabbi Eliezer says, dichtiv, for it's written, shabbaton zichron truah mikra kodesh, quoting the verse we just saw, Shabbaton, Zekdushat Hayom. The Shabbaton is the sanctity of the day, which he's clearly connecting to the idea of Malchut, of coronating God. Zicharon, Elu Zichronot. Zicharon in this Pasuk, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is referring to Zichronot. And Truah, Elu Shofrot. By the way, Rabbi Akiva has a slightly different drasha of what the term Mikra Kodesh means. But on the whole, they're agreeing, both of them agree, that Zikaron here, Zichron Truah, refers actually to the bracha of Zichronon. Rashi even implies that these brachas are midoraita. Rashi in the pasuk says, Zichron Truah, Zikaron, Sukei Zichronot, Upsukei Shofrot. He says, what's Zichron Truah? We're mentioning things about, he takes Zikaron in two senses. We're mentioning things about memory, and we're mentioning Sukim related to the shofar. And then finally, we have our first inkling of what the content of the Zikaron might be. It says Rashi, Lizkor lachem akedat Yitzchak shekarev tachtav ayo. This is to remind us of the Akeda, where in place of Yitzchak, Avram Avinu brought the ayo, the ram, and of course the shofar is going to connect as well to the idea of the ram's horn from the Akeda. Now, the remembrance of the Akedah is clearly a very important thing, but is it important to the extent that we would organize an entire holiday or an entire holiday's tefillah around it? What is the message in this remembrance? Now, there's something else I want to look at before we start looking at the bracha itself, which is most of this year, what I'm going to want to do is really get into the words of the bracha with you and try to understand its messages and how they shift over the course of the bracha. But first, there's one other set of psukim that I want to look at and another couple of Talmudic passages as part of our introduction. This set of psukim is a set of psukim from Sefer Bamidbar that talk about the trumpets that Bnei Yisrael had in the wilderness. Now, when we learn about the laws of shofar, there are two classic ways that our sages darshan those laws out of the verses. One way is to look at the shofar that is blown in the Yovel, the Jubilee year, and that's representative of God's kingship because the land reverts to its original owners, the slaves go free. It's very dramatic, and that's with the shofar. The other set of verses, like an alternative way to learn about the halachot of shofar from the psukim, are the verses here about the trumpets in the wilderness. Now, I want you to look closely, and I want you to remember that we're trying to understand in particular the role of zikaron, of memory. There's someone named Darlene who's got her mic on. Thank you. V'chitavo milchama v'artzechem. Alatzar tzorer etchem. Okay? When a war comes to your land and there's an enemy coming against you, v'areotem v'chatzotzrot, you will blow. That's the word hareotem. It's the same verb as trua, right? It's from the same root. You're going to make cry out v'chatzotzrot with these trumpets. Then yizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And then you will be, look at that root, nizkartem. You will be remembered. You're going to make a trua with the trumpet, and the result is going to be remembrance, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before the Lord your God, v'noshatem moivichem. So zikaron here in the context, and you're going to be saved from your enemies. Zikaron here in the context of the trumpets, its first use, we're going to see a second in a, we're going to see in a second another use. Its first use is saying God, through our use of the trumpets in the wilderness, would remember us in order to save us. Remember us in order to save us. The second use. Uv yom simchatchem uv moadechem, on the day of your rejoicing and on your festive days, uv roshei chodeshechem, on your roshei chodashim, your first of the month, utkatem v'chatzotzrot, alalotechem. Now you're going to, it's not going to be a crying blast, it's going to be a simple blast with the shofar, a tkia, not a trua. Well, not with the shofar, sorry, with the trumpet. Alalotechem v'zivchei shalmechem. These are going to accompany the sacrifices that you bring. And look at this. V'hayu lachem lezikaron. And they will be for you as a remembrance. Lifnei alokechem. Before your God, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. It's a statement of God's kingship at the end there. But what's going on? We have a second role. They're similar. They're not identical. In our times of distress, we would blow the trumpet, and the result would be a sort of divine remembrance and salvation. You could almost think of it as a judgment point, right? We talk about Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin. This is not specific to Rosh Hashanah, but we learn about shofar inspired by these verses. There's a moment, there's an inflection point when we're in threat. We employ the chatzotzrot, the trumpets, and God remembers us for good and he saves us. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two, we're celebrating and we're bringing korbanot and we're bringing sacrifices. And as part of that celebrating and bringing korbanot, we blast on the trumpet. And again, God responds, or God knows it's a zikaron. It reminds God of us. So zikaron can be a form of judgment. Zikaron can be a form of making our presence, kind of setting our presence in a more manifest way before God, right? We wouldn't say that God ever forgets, but there might be some things that make God be attentive on a different level. And that might depend on our action. And indeed, along in this vein, we see another passage in the Gemara. It says like this. Amru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah, malchuyot zichronot v'shofrot. Say before me on Rosh Hashanah, malchuyot zichronot and shofrot. Malchuyot kidei shetam lichuni aleichem. Say malchuyot so that you can make me king over you, says God. Zichronot kidei sheyale zichronechem lefanai l'tova. Zichronot so that your memory come before me for good. And with what? In shofar. This idea that when we say zikronot, God remembers us for good. I want you to notice that zikaron seems to be used in two different ways in these sets of psukim and in these drashas. In the first set, the zikaron starts with us mentioning or us remembering. In the second set, we're doing the act with the shofar in order that God remembers. Okay. Let's move right into the bracha. I see, half-hour shiur format, Rabbi Jay, it's tough. It's unforgiving. We're going right into the bracha, and we're going to make the most of our time. Okay, now the bracha, we're going to look at the bracha in four parts. The first part is, there's two parts to an introduction. There's a middle section with lots of verses, and then there's a final section. Okay, so let's start with the introduction. Now, this is all beautiful, poetic Hebrew. And what I've done, I think I might have missed one, is I've highlighted the word or the word uses of the word root zocher, to remember. I've also highlighted uses of the word root hey kuf dalet, pokade, which is a similar meaning of remember. It comes up, for example, in the beginning of the Torah reading, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem pakad et Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarai. Okay, let's look at how this works. Ata zocher, so a lot of times we've got parallel strokes. Ata zocher ma'aseh olam, we begin the bracha by directly addressing God. We've already declared him king in Malchir. Ata zocher ma'aseh olam, you, God, remember the doings of the world, of okay, kol yitzurei kedem, and you remember all the creatures from before, from ancient times. Lefanecha niglu kol talumot, before you are revealed. Remembrance is not just remembering. Remembering is being mindful of, or in God's eyes, when he's mindful of something, it's all laid out for him. It's revealed. Kol talumot, all the secret. V'amon nistarot shmi breshit, all many secret things from the beginning, from breshit. Okay. This should remind us already of the concept that the world was created in Tishrei. This seems to follow the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, that the world was created in Tishrei. And we're saying, here in Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are remembering everything you've created and all the things revealed in secret since then. Ki ein shichecha lifnei kisei kvodecha. And here we clarify the theological tough point. We know there's nothing that you forget. There is nothing forgotten before your throne of glory. Ve'ein nistar min yagin einecha. Nothing is hidden from you. Ata zocher kol ha-mif'al v'gam kol ha-yitzur lo nichad mimecha. You remember all that was done. Every creature, there's nothing that's withheld or beyond what you would keep in mind. Hakol galui v'yadu l'panecha Hashem Elokeinu. Everything is revealed and known before you, Lord our God. Sofel mabit atzof kol ha-dorot, who looks and watches till the end of all generations. Not only does God know the past, God, of course, also knows the future. Ki tavi chok zikaron lipaked kol ruach menefesh. You are the one who will bring the law of remembrance to keep in mind every spirit, every soul, every living thing. Lizacher ma'asim rabim, to remember many deeds, v'amon briot lein tachlit, and many creatures without end. Mereshit kazot odata, from the beginning like this, it was known to you, or you made known, umilufanim ota yilita, and you revealed this from the beginning. And now, this is interesting. This is actually a line from the Tefillah that it's actually recorded in the Gemara, which is an unusual thing. Ze hayom tchilat ma'asecha zikaron liyom rishon. This is the day of the beginning of your deeds, i.e., the birthday of the world, right? Zikaron liyom rishon, a day of remembering the first day. I'm going to stop here for a second, and let's talk about what we've seen so far. What's the theme? It's a very nice and natural segue from Malchiot. Malchiot establishes that God is the king of everything. Part of being the king of everything, what gives him kingship? He created everything. He's in control of everything. Here we're saying, yes, God is the king of everything. And that doesn't just mean that he made it. It means that he knowed it. He knows it. He keeps it in mind. It's understood by God. Rav Albo, in his Sefer Ikarim, which is a classic work of Jewish philosophy, says that Malchiyot is about the theological principle that God exists, and Zichronot is about God's Hashkacha, his overseeing the world, and we're going to get to that, reward and punishment. So far what we have the idea, and by the way, it's not just human beings, it's every creature. The same way God is king of absolutely everything, he created everything, God Zikaron extends everywhere. This is the day of creation, and creation means that God knows it. He's not a watchmaker God who disappeared. He's a God who's entwined in understanding his creatures. Ki chol Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. This is a great pasuk to quote. This is the verse that's used to prove that Rosh Hashanah, in discussions of Rosh Hashanah being a day of judgment, because before it comes the verse that says that we should blow on the Rosh Chodesh when the moon is hidden, the shofar. And then we talk about God making law. It's a mishpat. This suddenly is a transition. God is not just creator and knows everything. We have moved into the realm of judgment. God being the creator who knows everything also means that God can judge. And now we have a little sequence that should remind us of Unatana Tokef a little bit. Al medinot bo yamer ezo lecherev, ezo leshalom, ezo lerav, ezo lesoba. When it comes to the countries, to the people, getting closer in on resolution, we can ask, what does the judgment entail? Who's going to get the sword? Who by sword? Who's going to get peace? God willing, we should all get peace. Who's going to be in hunger and who's going to be sated? And this is the day of judgment where God's going to remember his creatures and judge for life or death. Who is not remembered here? And then suddenly he gets into our kishkas. God knows everything a person is doing. All of his little plots and steps that he takes, machshavot adam tachpulotav, his thoughts, his plotting, yitzrei maleish, everything a person seeks to do. And then we've moved. We've had God is creator. He's aware of all creation. God is judging. He's remembering and judging creation down to the little particulars of your every thought and plan and plot. And suddenly, there's a role for us. Ashrei ish shelo yishkacheka uven adam yitametz bach. Happy is the person who doesn't forget you, God. The human being who grabs on, who is strong in you. Ki dorshecha leolam lo yikashelu velo yikamu lanetzach kol achosim bach. Because those who seek you will never fail, falter, and they will not be, never will anyone be shamed who holds on to you. We have suddenly a turning point. God is remembering everything. God is judging down to even a human being's finest thought. But there's a flip side to this. What can make someone happy, what can enable someone to be judged favorably, is us remembering God. Us not forgetting God. Now, God ain't shichacha. God, there's no forgetfulness. But for us, this depends. This depends on the person and the person's effort and whether the person is seeking out God. And there's a reciprocity going on here because right after it, we repeat that God is remembering all of our deeds and atad doresh maaseh kulam. We were just saying that we're seeking God and now we're saying God seeks us. So if we want to be judged favorably, we have a role. If we want to be remembered for good, we have to live our lives remembering God. But that's not all. Oh, man, time. That's not all. There's more. And the more is, first, we have an introduction to a sequence of verses. The introduction says, and you know what? Gam et Noach be'ava zacharta. You also remembered Noach with love. V'tifkadehu bidbar Yeshua v'rachamim. You remember him with salvation and mercy. And then we tell the story of the flood and how God remembers Noah. And the question is, why do we introduce it that way? Well, look, the first of the psukim of Zichronot is the pasuk of Hashem remembering Noah, which happens before the Mabul ends. The second one also is a historical event from Torah. We have God hearing the cry of Bnei Yisrael, pasuk 2. He hears the cry of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And he responds by remembering the breed. And if we think about it, Noah also had a breed. And indeed, the theme, the overarching theme of all of the verses of Zichronot is a combination of God's memory and the breed and the covenant. But the covenant here is not the covenant at Sinai. The covenant here is the covenant with the Avot, the breed of the Avot. The covenant here is Brit Avot because remember what Rashi said about remembering the Akedah? We want to invoke Zchut Avot. We want to invoke the merit of our forefathers. Now, later on, when we get to Shofarot, we're going to talk about the appearance of God at Sinai, the receiving of the Torah, and how that deepens the Brit. But Zichronot is about, finally, Zchut Avot, the merit of our forefathers, the remembering of their deeds, and that should be for good. And here we have Avraham Avinu comes in Har Moriah. Fascinating also, contrast. Avraham Avinu, what did he do? Chavash rachamav lasot ritzoncha b'levav shalem. Avraham Avinu had to conquer his own mercy, his natural human mercy, to do the divine will. God, we want you to do the opposite. Or we want you to do something similar, and I'm missing the word. Converse, someone will help me later. We want you to conquer your anger through your mercy. Avraham Avinu had to conquer his mercy to serve God until the ram emerges. God, we want you to conquer your anger with your mercy and not to be angry with us. And again and again and again, the next pasuk again is talking about the memory of God's covenant with our forefathers. And at the end, we have Kizocher, kol hanishkachot ata umeolam, ve'ein shichcha lipnei kisei kvodecha. We return to the theme because you remember everything. There's no forgetfulness before you. Va'kedat Yitzchak lizaro hayom berachamim tizkor. Today, you need to remember God. Akedat Yitzchak. Baruch atah Hashem zocher b'rit. Blessed are you, our God, who remembers the covenant. Now, something that Rav Tzadok points out, which is very meaningful, I'm going to drop the screen share now. Rav Tzadok points out, which is very meaningful, and you'll look at it, God willing, in Shul. And this is true of Malchiyot Zichronon and Shofrot. The sequence of the verses is Torah, Tuvim, Nevi'im. The verses from the Torah talk about the past. The verses from the Ketuvim talk about the present. And the verses from the Nevi'im talk about the future. Malchiyot, Zichronon, Shofrot, that's the sequence of the verses. And here too, God remembered us in the past, Latova. That's the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the story of Noach. He remembers us in the present. We're invoking it. And God willing, we're going to fulfill what the Nevi'im said, that he'll remember us for good in the future. And there's one more point I want to make that I think is extremely important for really connecting to this bracha. As I think we saw, the turning point in this bracha, as far as I'm concerned, the turning point in this bracha is this moment where not only are we zooming in on the human being in judgment, but suddenly the human being has something to do. The favorable judgment is going to depend on us remembering God as well. And something that I saw in Rav Dessler really hit a note with me in terms of what this means. He made a comment that when it comes to Zichronot, this is our joining in the merits of all the generations through our own Mesirut Nefesh, through our own dedication and our own sacrifice. What I think he was saying, I can't say for sure, but what I think he was saying, or at least the direction I want to take that, is to remember God is one thing. But what it means for us to invoke Zechut Avot, to invoke the merit of our forefathers, or to ask God to remember us favorably as he did our forefathers, I think it's saying something additional. It's not just about us being aware of God. It's something else. It's that when we evoke and we invoke the connection that Kadosh Baruch Hu had with our forefathers, and we said, that's what happened in the past. It's happening now. It's in the future. What we're also saying is we're in this picture. We're part of this. We can only successfully say that the merit of our forefathers should be meaningful in how God looks for us if we accept that history, if we accept that story, and if we see ourselves as the continuation of the story. And I think that takes the idea of coronation to another level, because in coronation, we say God is our king. In Zichronot, we understand that God is our judge, but we're also saying he should judge us favorably because we really are part of this people. And Bezrat Hashem, we can learn to remember him. Okay, let's see if there are any questions. I see I probably have 1 minute left. I know Rabbi Jay is very strict. Okay.
Very strict, although I don't see Rabbi Israel.
So if we have a little more time. We
can, Alex, you know, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, so you only have 1 minute. Okay.
Okay, the Seder. I'm not actually seeing a question, so there's really no questions?
Okay. That's fine. It was explained so beautifully.
It's very kind. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Rabbi Alex, I'm sorry that I can't stay for your shir. I promised my family that I'd be back in commission soon, but I'm sure that will be wonderful, wonderful learning. Thank you.
Thank you,
Rabbi Jay.
Thank you, Lori. Thank
and
you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Yeah. You have a cut to all the best. Thanks, Lori. Okay, bye-bye.